We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 18, Verse 31. Description of Varnashram Dharma. No dvijeta janatiro, janam cha dvijayan natu, ativarangs titiksheta, Navamanyata kanchana Dehamodisha pashuva Vairam kuryanna kena chit. Navijeta chanatiro Sharam chave chayantu Ativara stichiksheta Navaman etakanshana Nehamisha pashuva Kuryana kena chit Lavi jeta janatiro Amcha vijayamatu Atipara sikshaita Avamanit kanshana Amadisha pashuka Vairam kuryana kena chit Adacheta jantiro Rancho vijayanatu Adipara siti kshetra Navamanyeta kanshana Deham udisha pashupa Vadam kuryana kena chit. Ladies, Navijeta chanatiro Chanancha Vedran the two Hatipada Siti Shepta Navamaneta Ganshana Dehamadisha Pashupad Vairam Kuryana Kevchit Na Never O Dvijeta, should be disturbed or frightened. Janat, because of other people. Dhira, a saintly person. Janam, other people. Cha, also. O Dvijayet, should frighten or disturb. Na, never. To, indeed. Ativaran, insulting our harsh words. Titiksheta, he should tolerate. Na, never. Avamanyeta, should belittle. Kanchana, anyone. Deham, the body. Udisha, for the sake of. Pashupat, like an animal. Vairam, hostility. Kuryat, he should create. Na, never. Kenachit, with anyone. Translation. A saintly person should never let others frighten or disturb him. And similarly, should never frighten or disturb other people. He should tolerate the insults of others and should never himself belittle anyone. He should never create hostility with anyone for the sake of the material body, for he would thus be no better than an animal. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has stated, Chanarapi sunichena tarariva sahishina manina manadena kirtaneasata hari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer our respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. A Vaishnava should never disturb any other living entity with his body, mind, or words. He should always be tolerant and never belittle others. Although a Vaishnava may act powerfully against the demons for Lord Krishna's sake, as did Arjuna, Hanuman, and many other great devotees, a Vaishnava becomes very meek and humble in regard to his own reputation. Mukam karoti vachalam bhangam lankate grim yakipantamam bande sivam tiratayam Om agyanati mirandasya agyananjara shalakaya chakshir miritam yenata samai shri gravena. Srila Prabhupada, when he was living in Prayag, or Allahabad, he was working in his pharmacy, in his drugstore, as a pharmacist. And one of his godbrothers came to the pharmacy, to the drugstore, and he said, "Can you give me a tonic for Krishna Prema?" So Srila Prabhupada said, "Well, I don't have the tonic with me right now, but I do know the formula for it." He said, and the formula is Chanara bi sunicheda tarari vasai shana. You should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, ready to offer our respects to others. And Srila Prabhupada said, "I will take this formula and I will distribute it all over the world." So that was back in the 1930s, and he already had his mission. His mission was very important. I was reading on the internet, the Ukraine festival just finished. Niranjan Swami said a very nice thing: if you have a mission for your spiritual master, then you have shelter. As long as you have a mission, you have shelter. And so Prabhupada had his mission. So humility is very important. Also, I heard from Burijan Prabhu that we have a bhakti creeper growing in our heart. And he said, when the roots of humility grow deeper, the tree of bhakti grows taller. And so humility is very, very important for spiritual life. Kunti Devi, when she was offering her prayers in the first canto, 8th chapter, she said, she was presenting herself as less intelligent. She said, "How can we see you, Krishna? You're meant for the Paramahansas. You come here for the great yogis, for the great gyanis, for persons who have clean heart. How can we see you? We are women." That was her humility. But actually, she was seeing Krishna face to face. And Krishna was coming to visit her in her house. And all these great yogis, they were sitting in the forest and trying to get to see the lotus feet of Krishna. But when Krishna came here, Krishna didn't go to the forest to see them. He went to Kunti's house. So they had to leave all their austerities and meditation and go and visit Kunti at Grihastha, which they would never do, but because Krishna was there. So if they wanted to see Krishna, they had to go to the house of Kunti and the Pandavas. So she was, although she was not in a very high position, but she had Krishna. And so the process of knowledge actually begins with humility, according to Bhagavad Gita, 13th chapter, Amanitvam Adambitvam Ahimsa Kshantra Arjavam. Because if you want to learn something, then you have to be submissive and humble. If you know it all, then how are you going to learn anything? And also in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, tolerance is described by Krishna. One of the first verses that Krishna gives instructions to Arjuna, first he says, you should not lament, you're not the body. So if you're not the body, then he gives an instruction. If you really have realized that you're not the body, then the first instruction is tamstitiksha sabharata, that you should tolerate. In this verse also, it mentions titiksheta, I think it is. Yes, titiksheta. Titikshava is very, very important. Tolerance. And then Bhagavad Gita has a very similar verse. In fact, there are many verses in 11th canto, there are very similar to verses in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is like the seed, and Bhagavatam is like the seed is fructifying and growing into a plant. So we get a lot more details in Srimad Bhagavatam. So the exact verse that goes with this verse is from Bhagavad Gita 12:15. He by whom no one is put into difficulty and who is not disturbed by anyone, who is equipoise, happiness and distress, fear and anxiety, is very dear to me. So Srila Prabhupada explains this verse in his purport. Since a devotee is kind to everyone, he does not act in such a way as to put anyone into anxiety. At the same time, if others try to put a devotee in anxiety, he's not disturbed. It is by the grace of the Lord, he is so practiced, he is not disturbed by any outward disturbance. So actually, because a devotee is always in Krishna consciousness, engaged in devotional service, the material circumstances cannot move him. So as long as we live in this world, we're going to have a lot of reasons to be disturbed. But the devotee, because he's thinking of Krishna, when the disturbance comes, then he says, thank you, Krishna. It is your mercy. My trip here was very difficult, and I was really trying to say thank you, Krishna. I was trying to remember why it's Krishna's mercy that I had to carry these heavy bags, because they insisted on checking my roller at the gate. And also a child was crying very loudly, and I have a problem with my ears on the first plane. Anyway, so I said, okay, thank you, Krishna. I have to depend on you more and think of you more now. And so sometimes we get, it's not a huge thing, but these things happen to us. So we have to tolerate. And we should not have this attitude of fault finding. And nectar instruction, there's a sentence in the preface that advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. Attitude is very, very important. Now, in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the fourth canto, we find someone who had a fault-finding attitude, and that was Daksha. And what was the result of his critical attitude was his daughter committed suicide, and he got the head of a goat. So it's not good to criticize others. It will not be good for our material or spiritual life. And his daughter, Sati, was telling him, you know, a man like you simply finds fault in the qualities of others. Lord Shiva, who is her husband, however, not only finds no faults with others' qualities, but if someone has a little good quality, he magnifies it greatly. Unfortunately, you have found fault with such a great soul. The Prabhupada says, amongst the good souls, there are gradations. And the best good soul is one who accepts an insignificant asset of a person and magnifies that good quality. And so Srila Prabhupada, he did that with us. I have one god sister, which you probably know, Krishnanandini. And she was telling how she came to Krishna consciousness. So in the beginning, she was in one temple, and somehow they threw her out of the temple, and her family, her mother. And so they decided, okay, let's go to Dallas. That sounds like a better place. And they came there, and they said, well, you know, and the president had already sent word ahead, no, don't let them in the temple. Oh, yes, we have to take care of all living entities here. So, yeah, sorry. not for frogs. Next birth, you can come. So she went to Dallas, and they said, well, I'm sorry, we don't have a place for you, but Srila Prabhupada is coming tomorrow. So they stayed on the roof of the temple, I think the mother and some children. She was one of the children, Krishnanandini. And it was 1972, and Srila Prabhupada came, and somehow her mother, Bhumati, she got a darshan with Srila Prabhupada. And 6 hours she was talking with Srila Prabhupada. At the end, she asked for initiation, and Prabhupada said, how many do you have? He initiated all of them. It was on Radhashtami, 1972, Krishnanandini. And a whole family, they got initiated. And Prabhupada, he saw the spark of spiritual life, and he fanned the spark. So that's the quality of a good soul. He sees a spark of interest in Krishna consciousness, and he tries to fan that spark. So if we meditate on the negative, then oftentimes we find ourselves doing exactly what we criticize others for doing. I found it in myself many times. I'll give you an example which Burijan Prabhu gave us in one of his classes in Bhagavatam. He said one time he was eating prasadam, and across from him there was a devotee who was sitting with his leg up and his hand on his chin, and he said, "Oh, how can he sit like that and eat prasadam? This is not the way to sit." So for 2 weeks he was watching that devotee, and after 2 weeks Burijan started he told us, started sitting like that, you know, because that was the meditation. If you meditate on the bad things, then you may start doing it yourself, and you may think of it much more than the person who's doing it. So we need to not criticize. One of my associates in VIH, Vrindavan Institute, Adi Purusha, he was asked the question, "Well, what do you do if you see someone not doing bhakti properly?" So he said, Adi Purusha's answer was, you take a mirror and you look at yourself and you ask the question, am I seeing this fault because this fault is somewhere in me? So yes, we have to be very careful. Another thing I got from Burijan, he tried to make a vow one Kartik Vrat. Everybody in Vrindavan, they make a vow. Maybe here also, I don't know. But in Vrindavan, everyone's very serious about vows and vrats. His vow was, I'm not going to think negative of anyone for Kartik. I'm not going to think any negative thoughts. He said he lasted a few minutes and he changed his vow. But you can try an experiment. Even if I travel, you know, you see, oh, that person looks like that and that one. It's just in your mind, you know, you're just an editor or a judge. And it's not good to think like that. But somehow, living in this material world, our mind is on critical default mode. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Jaita Dharma, he speaks about the behavior of a Madhyama Adhikari, one who's in the middle class qualification for bhakti. Madhyama Adhikari should neglect the dvishatsu, or the envious people. And he lists five types of dvesha, or envy. And the fifth of his list is daya, shunyata, or absence of mercy. So lacking mercy, lacking forgiveness, is a manifestation of envy. And the antidote given by Bhishma Dev for anger, sometimes we get angry, frustrated with people, is forgiveness. We have to forgive. And Prabhupada talks about that in Gita purport, that we should forgive the small offenses of others. So mercy, tolerance, forgiveness are very important qualities if we want to engage in devotional service. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says in his commentary on Rupa Goswami's Upadeshamrita, the duty of a devotee is to practice forgiveness. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhakta Sava Vagya Dosha Kshama Kore. The nature of a devotee is he excuses any offense by an ignorant rascal. Dine Daya Kore Sadhu Sabha Koi. Characteristic of all saintly persons is to be kind towards the poor and fallen. Bhagavatam also, Jamadagni, after Parashuram did something nonsense, he said, Kshamaya rochate lakshmir brahmi shari yata prabhu kshaminam ashubhagavans tushyate haririshara. The duty of a Brahman is to culture the quality of forgiveness, which is illuminating like the sun. Supreme Lord Hari is pleased with those who are forgiving. So, Lord Vishnu is Krishna's manifestation as the supreme controller and the supreme judge. He's super soul in the heart, and he sees everyone's mistakes and he counts them, and he sees everyone's good qualities also and he counts them. So a Vaishnava works for Vishnu. He's a representative of Vishnu. We serve under the supervision of senior devotees. So one category of senior devotees in this world are the demigods. And as the Lord representatives, they are qualified to judge. They can judge the good and bad deeds of conditioned souls. So we can say in one sense that if we work for these devotees, senior devotees, we're working in the Lord's courtroom. I got this actually from Madhavananda. And there's two courts. We have two choices which court we would like to work in. The first court is that of the Mahajan Yamaraj. He has a court, and his job is to note down all the mistakes and sins of the conditioned souls. And his chief scribe is Chitragupta. So what does it mean to help to be an assistant to Chitragupta? This is to find the faults of others. Then we're helping Chitragupta note down all the faults. This is said in Narada Purana that a fault finder is Naradhama, the lowest of mankind. If the sins are true, the person who is counting them will equally share the sin with the sinner. But if the accusation is false, then the one who accuses will get double the sin that he ascribes to the other person. So one who counts the sins of others, he's a servant of Yamraj, Chitragupta, and he's working in the court of Yamraj. But intelligent devotees, we want to work in a different court, and that's the court of Nityananda, who is described by Krishnadas. Adosha darshi mar prabhu nityananda abhajina hana prabhu charanar vinda. That Lord Nityananda is adosha darshi. He doesn't see the faults. Adosha means fault. Adosha. He doesn't see the faults. So the poet Krishnadas says Nitai is mora prabhu. He is my prabhu, my lord, because I have so many faults, I have no hope. So I have to find somebody who is a dosha darshi, who doesn't see the faults, and then I will get the mercy. So then he writes something. Nabhajino hena prabhu charnarvinda. He says, I never worshipped the lotus seat of Nityananda. So how can he write a song glorifying Nityananda and says, I never worshipped Nityananda? Doesn't seem to make sense. So we should question, what does it mean to worship Nityananda? Just like if you worship the sun, you take the fire of a giwik and worship the sun. If you worship Mother Ganga, you take water from the river. Whenever we bathe in Ganga, we offer water to Ganga, and that's the worship. So we worship all forgiving Lord Nityananda by ourselves being forgiving. That's how we worship Nityananda, and we join his court. So to work in the court of Nityananda means we have to give up fault finding and the propensity for bearing grudges. So in his purport of Chaitanya Charitamrita, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada describes our eligibility that it is a qualification of a Vaishnava. He is a dosha darshi. He never sees other faults. There's one example which is given often, maybe it's from Srila Prabhupada, about a brahmana and a prostitute who lived across from each other. And the brahmana was watching the prostitute, and he was counting all the people who were going to see the prostitute. And meanwhile, the prostitute on the other side was watching the brahmin. And she was counting all the good people and saying, wow, how elevated he is. And the brahmin was thinking, oh, how terrible this prostitute is. So what happened at the time of death? The brahmana was thinking of the prostitute. The prostitute was thinking of the brahmana, and she got a good birth. He went downhill. So whatever's in our mind. Another story is about two brahmacharis who came to a river, and one lady had a hard time. She couldn't cross, so she asked the brahmacharis to help her. So one of the brahmacharis picked her up and carried her across the river. And then the two brahmacharis were walking, and after about 2 hours, the other brahmachari said, how come you carried that lady across the river? And so the brahmachari who carried the lady said, well, you know, I only carried her for 5 minutes. You carried her for 2 hours. Never mind. So that's how it goes if we meditate. We should meditate on the good qualities somehow or other, because otherwise we will help Yamaraj Maharaj, and we will work in his court, and we will be counting the sinners and helping Chitragupta. So it's better we work in the court of Lord Nityananda and don't see the faults and try to fan the spark like Srila Prabhupada. He had the mood of Nityananda. There was one thing that happened in India. There was one devotee who was making life members and keeping all the money and not giving anything to the temple. So when the devotees found out, they were really upset and they kicked him out from the temple. But then later on, Prabhupada took him back and even gave him sannyas. But then again he left, and he was on Juhu Beach, living on Juhu Beach. He was homeless. So Prabhupada said, bring him back. I want to engage him again. And Tamal said to him, but Prabhupada, you know what he's doing on Juhu Beach? He's taking lessons from a yogi, how to pass a coin from one ear and out the other. And Prabhupada said, you do not know the mercy of Nityananda. And so we are all candidates for the mercy of Nityananda. We are mercy cases. So therefore, we should also be in that mood, in that attitude of Nityananda, and try to see the good and try to fan the spark in others. So let's see the time. Oh, it's pretty early. I guess I'll stop here if you have any questions or comments. Yes, Prabhu. Oh yeah, that's a fact. You have the duties.
Yeah, the administrator's job is to uphold your instruction.
Right.
It is sometimes to correct.
Right.
Sometimes the administrator will be required to take what we would consider outwardly as a harsh behavior in order to do what needs to be done, that soft behavior will be.
Right. Right.
And so how do we distinguish when it's time to have such a behavior over a soft one that would be ineffective?
How do we distinguish? So his question is, in case somebody didn't hear, is about an administrator who has to administrate justice. I think that's your duty. If there is improper action, then you have to enforce it like that. It's very much like the duties of a kshatriya or a king, who has to punish somebody who does something wrong in the kingdom, and he has to protect the citizens or the ones who are following properly. Is it something like that?
Or simply a department head in one of the various service departments here at the temple that needs to uphold certain standards.
Okay, you need to uphold certain standards.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so again, that's a very important question. And Yamaraj is the one who punishes everyone, and he's the only one, I guess, in the demigods' planets. But here we do have different departments and we have different managers. So what I would say is that whatever you do, try to do it with compassion and love. An example from Srimad Bhagavatam is King Prithu. He was the king of the state, and he had to administer justice. He had to deal with the criminals and all that. And he also had to deal with the good citizens. So how did he deal with the good citizens? He asked them, he gave them instructions how to live their life in the proper way. First of all, he gave training so that they would not break the rules. So that was one of his duties, is to give training. So then how to do that, that's up to you, how you can train people so they know how to do the right thing. And then what was his training? Part of his training was he instructed them to follow Ranasham Dharma. Now, I'm not saying that's what you have to do, but I'm saying that's his example. And what did he say to the citizens? He said, I would like you to follow Ranasham Dharma. He wasn't forcing them, okay, you have to do that, you have to do that. So I would like you to follow this Ranasham Dharma for me. There is love between the king and the citizens. There is a great amount of love. And he said, because if you follow your duties and you do your varnasham properly, then I will have a good destination after death, after I leave this body. So why would anyone care about the king? If now we don't care about, you know, the president. If he says, do it for me, you know, why should I do it for you? So in those days, there was such love between the administrators and the citizens. He said, please do this for me. He did not force anything. Varnasham was based on love, actually, in the time of King Prithu. Everyone loved him so much because he he helped everyone so much, and he treated them like his children. So he said, please, please do this for me. The same with Srila Prabhupada. He was an administrator of ISKCON. And we did it out of love because we saw how he was the perfect example of... We couldn't compete with him in any way. We couldn't even catch up with him in any way. He did more austerities. He got up earlier. He slept less. So I guess the one thing you can do is first to be an example of what you want to see. And then also have the attitude of trying to help whoever you meet. That would be helpful. And of course then, you know, explain, train them so they know what the rules are. If, I guess ignorance is no excuse. You break the rules and you say, well, I didn't know. Still you suffer. But I think you need to cultivate the people who are in your department with you. Try to cultivate relationships. And if you have a good relationship, more on a friendly basis, then it will be easier for you to inspire them to do the right thing. Of course, if they do the wrong thing, then you know you have your rules and you explain, you know, okay, so this is the rule and this is what you did, and we have it. So therefore, there's consequences. It's easy to distinguish. If you have to make the rules clear, though, there shouldn't be any cloudy area. The rules should be very clear. Otherwise, how do they know if they're breaking them? That's one thing you should do. So make very clear rules. That's what I could say from Bhagavatam's example. Any other questions? Yes.
Just more elaborating on that. Srila Prabhupada was like the perfect administrator.
He was, yeah.
I remember when Gursinder, who was the GBC and the temple president.
Gursinder was GBC. Okay, I'll repeat for everyone. So Prabhupada was not like that. He said, you get out, you get out, you did that wrong. Gursinder was GBC temple president.
And he sold the temple.
He sold the temple in Hawaii.
Out from under the deities.
And he what?
Out from under the deities.
Did what?
Out
from under the deities, okay.
He moved the deities out to the country.
And beautiful Tulsis were there.
He took the money.
He took the money.
And still, even after all of that, Prabhupada came, Prabhupada personally flew over to the Big Island to try and get Gursinder back.
So Prabhupada personally flew over and tried to get him back. Prabhupada didn't condemn. He just tried to bring him back. The same with that one sannyasi who fell down, and he sent his danda back to Prabhupada. And then later on, he came to see Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, so where's your wife? How is your wife? And he said, oh, she's having a baby, so she couldn't come. He said, but I named the baby Abai. Is that okay? And even if, when he was managing, he wouldn't give a lot of details. I saw some letters from Prabhupada. It was Sansaduta who was telling that Srila Prabhupada, when he would ask him a question, he said, just chant Hare Krishna and it will come from within. The inspiration will come from within. He said he wouldn't be the kind of manager who gave a lot of details. He empowered us and he had a lot of faith in us. In our so-called abilities. I don't think we had any abilities, but somehow Prabhupada gave us, you know, he put them into us, or he discovered them. Okay, you had a question or comment?
When he was speaking, the Prabhupada was a deputy. So I just, for my own understanding, I might find it flawed, or am I incompassionate because I felt, how do we know that the Prabhupada was not going to hear Bhagavatam?
Okay, she wants to be compassionate for the frog that was in the temple. How do we know he didn't want to hear Bhagavatam? He was so small that someone could step on him. I would feel like he might be in trouble if he stayed here. It's compassion to take him out because he's so small, somebody might not see him. Huh?
Or he may frighten other people.
I didn't get that.
That was the main
thing. He might also try to scare other people, frighten other people.
Oh, he might frighten some old ladies, and the old ladies may also step on him too because they can't see so well. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, some people are scared of frogs. So we have to protect. There is protection there. Protection of the frog and protection of the devotees. Yeah, I would think. In India, there was one bull who was coming to Bhagavatam. The Sapta. They have a seven-day Bhagavatam in Orissa. And one bull was coming right on time, sitting down in the men's section, and listening for... he came also in the afternoon, sat down, listened to Bhagavatam for 7 days. They have a 7 days. And then next year he came again. Nobody told him, you know. he came for Bhagavat Sapta in India. Yeah, these animals are special, but we do have to discriminate, yes. Next birth, he will. Srila Prabhupada discriminated. He found cockroaches. He found a cockroach in Montreal. He picked up the cockroach and took it to the window and said, "Here, I'm giving you the whole world to enjoy." And he threw it out. Quite a benediction from Srila Prabhupada. Benedicted, blessed cockroach. But other times he was, he was compassionate. There was some kind of bug in the temple with Srila Kirti on the floor, and he said, "Oh, you see that poor bug? He's hungry. Put him on a flower and take him out, you know, maha flower." Another one, he was sitting at his desk, and across was Naranarayan. And he said, "You see that ant on the desk?" And he didn't see, Naranarayan didn't see the ant. So he said, "Half yes, half no, you know, nya." Because if he said yes, he'll be lying, and if he said no, he'll be a fool. So then Prabhupada said, "Do you know your duty to that ant?" First of all, he couldn't see it. Now he's got a duty to the ant. Prabhupada said, "Your duty is to make that ant Krishna conscious, and our movement will be a grand success." So Prabhupada had that vision of, we have to think, when we, compassion. He could have stayed for Bhagavatam class, but anyway, he came in the temple. He heard the vibration, so he got the soul. Heard that, so it's okay. Prabhupada acted different times, the ant he let stay, the bug he took out, the cockroach he threw out the window. Also bed bugs, it was out the window. Who was it? It was Govindadasi, who was with Srila Prabhupada, and they were living in some apartment, and she was getting all bitten up by the bed bugs all over her face. And Prabhupada said, "Yes, they come to me, but I pretend like I'm sleeping. And then I catch them, and I chant to them, and I throw them out the window." So then Govindadasi tried it. She said, but she still got bit. She says, "I pretend to sleep, but it doesn't work. They don't bite me till I'm really asleep." Oh, Prabhupada said, "Yes, you have to be expert." So Prabhupada had many, many, many things that he did with bugs. Another one in Vrindavan, before he left for the West, there was one Babaji, he was living in Radha Damodar, and one Babaji thought, "Okay, let me clean Prabhupada's room, because there are a lot of spider webs." And so he was cleaning all the spider webs, and the spiders were coming on the ground, and Prabhupada came in, and he saw the spider, and he looked up, and he said, "Why did you disturb them?" So this is taking this verse to quite an extreme. "Why did you disturb them? They are here for generations. We are newcomers here. We should not disturb them." How he could see the spider as better than him. Better, we wouldn't think like that at all. I'm better than the spider for sure. And Prabhupada saw, no, the spider has more right to this room than I do. I mean, what a mentality that Srila Prabhupada had. Talk about equality. Spiders are higher than me. Not just, take care of them, but, they're in a better... They have more right than I do to live in this room. But not the cockroaches. Those he took out. He discriminated. Spiders are good in India because they catch the mosquitoes. and other things that are in your room, maybe. They catch cockroaches too. Yeah, they're good, the spider webs. Okay, any other questions or comments on this verse? Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you. Hare Krishna.